Quiet on the set. Better Podcasting, episode 13, live hosting tips. Take one. And action.
I'm Steven.
I'm Chris.
I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm the French Canadian Sensation.
And we're the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready.
Because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
Let's geek!
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the official Better Podcasting podcast. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me today is my cohort, Stargate Pioneer.
I'm psyched. It's Better Podcasting night, and I look forward to this all week. It's great. It's like, I like all my podcasts, but this is just exciting. It's great. We love talking about this stuff anyway. It's fun, and it's our hobby, and we love it so much, and I can't wait to get started.
I'll tell you why it's exciting. Because it's not live. It's one less ball of stress.
Just a little bit. I guess this is the only... Well, no, because Limebox is not live either, but... This is the only one that I do with a co-host that we're recording live at the same time. That's not live, streaming live. So yeah, there you go.
That's true. That means that I believe you and I get a trophy. I think that that's what that means. I believe the rest of the network is supposed to get us said trophy.
Would the said trophy be a participation trophy or an award trophy? Are we talking like a golden microphone, maybe? I mean, what are we talking about?
That's my understanding. My understanding was that they had to buy me a gold BP-40 and you a gold SM-7B. That was my understanding when I signed the contract, but I might be misunderstood.
What contract? What are you talking about? I never signed any contract.
I signed one with myself when I made the network.
Oh, did you look it up online?
I did.
All right, go figure.
But we do have other people looking at us online, maybe listening online, because we did mention in prior weeks that we do indeed have a contest going on for a brand new Audio-Technica ATR2100 USB microphone. It is being held up as we speak on the YouTube side of things by the one and only Stargate Pioneer, and we are giving this away to one lucky listener/viewer. And that's something that the easiest way that you can enter is by doing what these couple people that we're going to tell you about did, which is email contest@betterpodcasting.com. And send us a bit of information on why you want this ATR2100, and we will end up drawing a name. At the end of February, we will run the contest until the end of February 2016. So in March, we will come back with and announce the actual person that won. Right, SP?
I can't wait to give this away. It's going to be fun sending it off to a great new home. And whoever is going to get it, I know is going to use it. It's because the submissions we're getting on this are just incredible. So if you haven't submitted already, go ahead, email us at contest@betterpodcasting.com like these gentlemen did, and you will be entered in to get it. So what we ask you to do is just tell us a little bit about why you want it and what you're going to do with it. And everybody so far has been doing it. So good job, listener. Good job, viewer. And so we're going to start off with Preston today. Preston says, "Winner, winner, chicken dinner, please. Hey, guys, how are you? How are you, Steven? How are you?"
I'm excellent. Thank you very much, Preston, for writing that to me directly and not Stargate Pioneer. I do really appreciate that.
Since "you" is both singular and plural, I'm going to take it as he meant both of us. And I'm going to say, Hey, I'm doing great. How are you, Preston? Thank you very much for including both of us.
Okay, you take it how you want. I'll take it how I want.
That's usually how it goes around here. So anyway, he continues and he says, a year or so, I started a blog doing reviews of products and things I enjoy. Right after I started it, our house was broken into and everything of value was stolen. Oh, that sucks, Preston. Sorry to hear about that. Really am. And so he goes on to say, I am a jack of all trades and there is very little I've not tried or done. And now I want to focus on doing a solid podcast. And so he said solid. Does that mean like it's solid, like a corporeal solid, or are we talking like solid, like really good podcast? I mean, what are we talking about there?
I took it, me personally, as it's going to be a food podcast without a video companion. So it will be description of cooking.
A solid being solid foods,
yes.
Like not a liquid diet, but a solid diet.
That's exactly how I assume that it is. I might be wrong on that.
Okay, we're going to have to ask him about that later. So Preston, if you want to clarify, go ahead. But he goes on to say, I am very opinionated and enjoy talking about things I like and things I hate or dislike. And I found your podcast on New Stitcher and have enjoyed every episode. So please keep up the great work and carry on. Sincerely, Preston. So Preston, thank you very much for sending that. We really appreciate it. And you are now entered into the contest.
SP will make sure that next week he has the second camera up so you can see the big, big drum that we have all of the entries in that will turn at the end of the... No, we don't have that. We can't afford that.
I had to steal it from the local bingo hall, but
Then we also had Kenneth enter, and Kenneth said, I would use the microphone for my field interviews. And he ended up actually saying that he had got the iRig mic studio and thought that that was going to basically be for or cover his needs. And he ended up having some issues with it. And he's seen other people with this microphone and having very good luck. That's very, very true. As I mentioned before, got one right behind me here. And I am loving it. It's a great mic. Obviously, I don't use it right now, but I do take it on the road. So it is indeed a really, really good mic. And he's hoping to win it for that reason. And he goes, thanks. Great show on number 10. So we've had a bit of interaction lately with episode 10. So I think maybe the audience is catching up to that area, or maybe we just tagged it right. I don't know.
It was such a fun episode. I mean, we talked about our stories. That was pretty cool. Yeah. And everything. And I just want to point out, he's from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And I need to point that out because it is on the way for me to my lake home. So I go by Chippewa Falls all the time. Love the place. And Wisconsin buddies. Yay.
Well, now that just seems like you're rigging it if he wins. Way to go, SP.
we will show the giant drum of applicants and we will turn it and figure out something to make sure that this is not rigged whatsoever. Maybe Steven will pull the number. I don't know. We'll see. If I can mail him the bingo drum in time, we'll see if that happens. Although the last thing I mailed to you took like over a month, so that was just amazing.
It's
internet
true.
Customs suck.
Yeah, very, very true. Very, very true. But thank you very much to both of you for entering in. As a reminder, you can definitely email contest@betterpodcasting.com and let us know why you want it. And maybe it's as simple as I want it because I want to display it behind me like Steven does. All righty. So today we wrap up our final installment in our three-part series on hosting. The first episode, we did end up covering the co-host role. That was episode 11. In episode 12, also known as the prior episode, we did cover the lead hosting role. And this time, we are talking about Hostess Delicious Treats.
Oh, I so love Hostess. Oh. When they took the Twinkies away, I was okay with it.
Yeah, no, we're not actually covering that, SB, no.
Oh, shoot.
No.
Now I'm hungry for a chocolate cupcake. Dang you, Steven.
No, today we are covering the live hosting role because it is a bit of a different scenario when you do have a live feed going on. Now, you could cover this a couple different ways. You could just go and be like, hey, I'm going to put out my live feed, my recording session live so that anybody can hear that. And if they want to chime or if they want to listen in, they can listen in. And I'm going to run things exactly the way that I always have, and I'm going to ignore them. You could do that potentially, and it probably won't change anything that you do with the hosting role at all. It'll be a technical difference, but hosting wise, probably no difference. But we're going to be covering what happens when you start to interact with that live audience a little bit. There are some changes and some things that you want to be a little bit aware of to best shape your podcast towards that live audience. Right, SP?
Absolutely. We got a ton of stuff that's different. Now, okay, so back up a second. Both Steven and I are a little experienced with live hosting. I've been doing it for a couple of years now. I started with Voices of Defiance, Starly Tribune, and Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I moved up from audio only to video. Steven has had experience with Gonna Geek, and what else do you have live experience with, sir? Is that it?
Yeah, no, we used to do Fanboy Buzz.
That's back right.
We would do it that way. Gonna Geek, we would do it. For a while there, we did some The Walking Dead's live. Did a little bit of
that's,
that. So
that's right.
Been mm-hmm. all over the map. I also like to think that I had great experience. Actually, I was going to make a joke, but the truth is I went on Chris Farrell, who we've had on the show before, fellow Gonna Geekers. I went on his show years ago, All Things Good and Nerdy, and it was a different type of host or of live experience, because that was my first real video podcast live experience, and that was quite fun. And I've done a couple of episodes there, but you know, I think that there's a bit of a difference between doing just a pure audio live feed and a video one. I don't know why, mm-hmm. but there seems to be a little bit of a difference to me.
Yeah, that I was going to get to that, actually, is that when I started doing my live feeds, I just did it audio only. And that is a slightly different animal, because you don't have the video set you have to worry about. You're just talking back and forth. Now, you might be on a Skype call with your co-host and you're streaming via Mixler or Spreaker or something like that, audio only Ustream, but you don't have to worry about presenting yourself to the listener or to the viewer in this particular case. Now, when you go to the viewer, you do have to worry about appearance and stuff like that. And I'm going to tease this a little bit. We're going to be talking about video setups and video podcasting in future episodes. So we're not going to cover that right now. What we're going to focus on, though, is live hosting and how it is different than recording a podcast and then releasing it later, or time delayed content or whatever, kind of like on your DVR or on demand content. That's what a podcast is that we are coming from. But as we go forward with this live podcasting or streaming, there is definitely different things that you have to do. And we've got a list of them, as we have the last couple of times. But the first, it comes out to, do you want the entire live broadcast experience? Do you want to play music? Do you want bumps? Or do you just want to this is how we record and we're going to put all the effects in later? I mean, you have to decide what you want to do. If you're incapable of putting in the effects later, like if you're somebody that does not play live bumps when you're recording, you have to go in and insert that later. But you have to decide on how you're going to do that beforehand. Right, Steven?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is a really, really big decision, because it does give you a lot more work, both from the prep side and the running your podcast, if you decide to do the full produced experience for your audience. You don't have to do it that way. There's lots of people who do still edit in the stuff afterwards, because if you end up wanting to do a live experience where you are playing audio, you are playing other things, you will have to expand your setup to a degree. That there's mm-hmm. no way around that. That's just the bottom line is, you know, Chris Farrell, who I mentioned, he for a long time edited them in afterwards. And when he decided to do that, he ended up doing it by having a second machine going conferenced into the Hangout on air, which was a great way to do it without a mixer and things like that. But he still had to do something in order to play that live bump, that music, the intros, whatever. He had to do something in order to do that.
Yeah, and it was kind of a convoluted system that he had going on. We would recommend getting a mixer to do it, but if you don't have a mixer and you have a couple of extra pieces of gear around, like a phone, an iPad, a laptop, something like that, then you can bridge everything together in order to play it on Google Hangouts yeah. or Blab or whatever you're talking about. So there are ways to do it if you just want to try it out, but we will get to that later, I promise. Another thing to consider, though, is how much interaction, as Stephen alluded to before, do you really want with your fans? Like, do you just want to say, hey, look, we're going to include you guys afterwards? Or are you going to take their comments and chat as you go along? I've done it all. I've had people pop in. I've had people comment, and then we talk about it during the podcast. And then I've had people in at the end. And it just depends on what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
If you're not, if you want your content to be out there like you normally do before you start to stream, the easiest thing that I've found is to actually record the podcast like you normally will. Take comments from the chat, because that's how they're interacting. If you have some sort of chat set up, and on Blab, it's easy. The chat's right there. On Google Hangouts On Air or Google Live or YouTube Live, it's a little bit more convoluted right now, but there are ways to include a third-party chat program or take a look at your Google Plus post or stuff like that. So it's all there. There's all different ways to do it. Like I said, we're going to get into the particulars a little bit later, not in this podcast, but you have to decide as a host, as you want the podcast flow to go, whether or not you're going to include interaction, and what level of interaction are you going to include?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is something that, as SP mentioned, you can very well leave it out of your podcast. But what I recommend, if you are going to have a platform where people can chat, make sure you make that clear. Before you do go live, I always recommend you do talk a little bit to the audience and tell them that this is what's going to happen. We'll get to your comments a little bit later, because there's nothing worse than making your fans feel like you don't care about them.
Yeah, like you're totally ignoring them.
Exactly.
You're making yourself available, but you're saying, no, we don't care what you think. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. I can't imagine one single podcast out there that doesn't care about their audience. I mean, that's the reason why you're putting the podcast out.
I do one for myself and myself only that you don't know about, SP. So there you go.
Yeah, it's got a download of one every week, right?
Exactly, exactly. So let's say that you do decide to go live, which is great. Cool. Good for you. It'll be fun. But what might you want to change with your process? Well, number one, we've talked about meeting on both prior episodes. We talked about meeting with your hosts ahead of time. Make sure that you give yourself more time, because I will tell you that it is really, really easy to take for granted the buffer that you have not running a live show, because maybe something goes wrong and you're not doing a live show, and it's easy just to kind of brush it off and be like, oh yeah, we'll sort that out. Let's fix that. We'll get that solved and then we'll go. Well, let's say you're doing live now. Now you're sitting there and you got people waiting for you to start. So I encourage you to do one of two things. Number one, if everybody gets together right now and you're not doing a live show at 5:30, I say push it to 6 at the earliest. So push it to 6 at the earliest, or better yet, bump your meetup time to 5 at the earliest. So that's my recommendation, is give yourself more buffer space one way or another. That is something that is very, very important. I will tell you, from the Gunna Geek podcast, when we ended up going live, we were a pretty gelled group. We used to meet at 5:30 and start, I don't know, 5:40, somewhere in that neighborhood. Now we go live at 5:45-ish, and we all meet between 5 and 5:15. So we give ourselves that half hour or so buffer. And that is something that I've mentioned it before, it's a blessing. So definitely, definitely give yourself extra time. That is my number one advice for preparing to run your podcast.
I would completely agree. Imagine that. So on the podcast that we normally have some prep time, and we don't have the prep time for whatever reason, and we're just going right away, we get on the call and we go, it's like everything that can possibly go wrong goes wrong. The mics don't work. The video doesn't work. You can't get the recording started. You can't hear somebody. You can't see somebody else. It's just, I can't explain it. If you don't give enough time, the tech will fail. It just knows that you don't have time to deal with it. It's out to get you. Let me tell you, it's just gonna totally screw you over when you need it to. So yes, if you give yourself enough time, you can deal with minor technical issues. The other thing that I will say is that don't worry about starting on the specific second. If you have to delay like 2 minutes or something like that, that's one thing. If you delay more than 5 minutes, your live audience is going to get kind of antsy. Maybe some people will leave that were there to begin with. So just keep that in mind that you are doing this once you go live for the convenience of your audience, not the convenience of you. So you have, if you're having technical difficulties, have a co-host get in there and start warming up the crowd, do little jokes or stuff like that while your producers behind the scene or whoever is trying to make it work, makes it work. So that's just a quick and dirty tip on give yourself time. A half an hour is good. Some people need more.
Agreed.
And then just go with the flow when you have to. Don't get too upset either because it will affect your podcast once you start recording as well.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And I still remember to this day, it was actually my Windows 10 experience. When I went to Windows 10 and everything was looking grand and then gonna geek, everybody starts connecting and my computer S's a bed. And I have to go and I'm madly trying to get everything going. And I just decide to, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull the plug. I'm going to swap back to my other drive that I had at the time and get back to my Windows 8 install. And SP says to me, he goes, take a breath. It's okay. We'll chat in the chat with the audience. And it sticks with me because I was so stressed. And if I had been like, bang, bang, let's get this going. And I was still in that mindset. It would have been a horrible podcast, but just SP reminding me of that, it still sticks with me.
And it's happened to me too. It's not like I said that out of nothing because I was interviewing, I can't remember which interviewer it was, but I was interviewing somebody on Voices of Defiance and we were doing one of our first multi-track recordings where I had several Skype machines going and one Skype machine just did not work whatsoever. I could not get it connected. I couldn't get it signed in on the account. It just wasn't working. So we finally got it working, but I had to calm down a bit. And Sean, who's a very experienced broadcaster, by the way, he doesn't just do podcasting, but he's done a lot of podcasting. So he said, SP, just take a breath. It's fine. Everything's going to work out. And it did. So as long as you've done the prep work and you just have to fix a thing or two as you're going along, it'll be fine. If there is technology failure and then you have to go to a backup solution, which has happened to some people before, like Google Hangouts on Air doesn't work. So what do you do? Well, you go over to Blab or you call it off or you just do audio only. So that sort of thing. So just take a breath and go. But that's more on the producing side. That's not really on the co-hosting side. From the hosting side, if you have somebody that is having problems getting connected, you connect with the audience, make sure that they know what's going on because people have expectations and just chat back and forth with them, make them smile.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the biggest thing. You are an entertainer at this point in time, whether you're just giving factual information or you are making them laugh or you're including them in the conversation. So include them into the conversation and just have fun with them. That is a time to have fun.
It is. And you can really help out your co-host by realizing that this is going on and stepping up and taking that ball. Now, SP, what do you do if you're solo casting?
You can, try to play music. You can do puppets, I guess, if they can see you.
I'm going to cut you off here. My recommendation is get good at multitasking. That's my recommendation.
Yes, live is multitasking. Doesn't matter if you're on the producing end or you're on the co-hosting end or the hosting end or lead hosting end. Live broadcasting, you have to multitask. Now, some people can multitask better than others. So you have to realize that some people have limitations. Like some people cannot podcast and look at the chat at the same time. And so you just have to realize that that's what's going on. And if you call out stuff in the chat, they will look at it. But if you you just know that they're not going to be looking at it because they're being good co-hosts. They're focusing on what you're saying and what you're listening. But yes, multitask, very important.
For sure. For sure. So let's go ahead and say that you've now prepped, you've met, you've got everything all going and you are now hitting broadcast. Well, what is my number one recommendation in this section? Well, once you hit go, my number one recommendation is remember that you've hit go because everybody has said something before where they will record a podcast and they'll go, I really didn't like that. I want that gone. Let's edit that out. Hey, guess what? You're live. Can't edit out life, can you?
Other people can actually record what you're saying on their end. It's happened to me, but it's happened to very prominent podcasters as well. And you have to remember that once it's on the internet, it could possibly be on the internet forever. Of course, the one time that you need somebody else to have recorded it, they won't, but you never know. So yeah, just remember anything you say can be out there forever. Now, it can be edited out of the final version, but the people that were there live are going to know what you said. So just be cognizant that keep your comments PC friendly and keep your comments like, okay, I'll give you an example. Sean, again, he was on a podcast a while back. This was not live, but it was kept in the final version where he said something very disparaging towards one of the main actors on the show that he was doing. To this day, that actor will not have anything to do with him because it was left in there. That's the sort of thing you want to stay away from.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. On the flip side of things, maybe it's not that extreme, but you still want to be aware that you are broadcasting live when you make mistakes, because you got to learn how to handle those. Are you going to just roll with the punches and treat it like a radio show where you're going to go and actually flub your words, talk over each other a little bit, go back and forth and go, oh, no, you go, no, you go, and try to deal with that later? Or are you going to go, okay, audience, this is where you get to see the magic happen. That was a big train wreck. We're just going to go redo that. SP, can you go from your line where you say, and either one is okay. You know, honestly, if you can get really good at editing, the first option is actually a lot smoother of an experience for the live audience. But keep in mind that often in podcasting, your live audience is a small percentage of your audience base. And that is something that you may want to sacrifice to a degree that live experience for the net result of the produced podcast. And in a scenario where things just went south really bad and you don't think that it's going to be able to be edited, you may want to just go and redo your line. And as a host, you can actually go ahead and say that. You go, let me start again, and then say your line. And then in editing, you can fix that quite easily. So you want to be aware a little bit that your audience is there and acknowledge them to a degree when you do make mistakes.
Remember when sitcoms used to do taped in front of a live studio audience before they did all these laugh tracks and did it in post and stuff like that? You remember that, Steven?
I do. It was pretty much always the exact same. Oh, wait, that was a laugh track. Never mind.
Right. So anyway, these live studio recordings, they were supposed to probably do it in one take, right? Well, that never happened. There would always be something that went wrong and they'd have to go back and do it again. And then they would show it later. And then the big thing in TV came with the big events of, we're going to do a live production of this. We're going to do a live episode of this. We're going to do Mary Poppins live, or we're going to do Sound of Music live or something like that, which still happens today, by the way, from time to time. But when that happens, they just roll with the mistakes and go with it because the show must go on, that sort of thing. In podcasting, you're going to edit it. You're going to play it back later because the live audience is so small. So yeah, that's just an example of editing is wonderful. It can happen. You don't have to edit. We advocate that you do edit, and just keep cognizant of that as you are in your live experience. Just roll with the mistakes, whatever you decide to do as a group, or if you're solo, whatever you decide to do, just keep to that, because your audience will have expectations that if it happens again, this is how they handle it.
For sure. One other thing that you might want to be a little bit aware of when you're talking about the live experience versus the produced experience is your technological limitations. For example, if you use Skype to record, in order to make things super smooth for the live experience, you may play a bump, and then you want to finish introducing your segment at the end of the bump. Well, guess what? Sometimes there's a bit of an effect with Skype where it ends up essentially muting somebody who is playing a bump. It'll mute everybody else on the session. So if I'm playing the bump on my end and SP is recording the or sending out the podcast on his end, and then we have Chris coming in and he's supposed to start that next segment, what's going to happen is SP sending out that live stream, I'm playing the bump to him. And so what's going to happen when Chris comes to chime in, he's not going to really hear Chris because Skype is going to be affecting that sound. So that's something that you would want to be a little bit aware of that for actually going live and giving a good experience with the audience.
Also, be aware that your producer might not completely be on the ball and might have to play the bump again because he played the wrong bump the first time. So, not saying that has ever happened.
Never
to
happened.
Anybody on this podcast, but it is possible to have happened. Yes.
We've both done it. Yeah.
So that's another example of a mistake and you go on. But yes, if you both talk at the same time, you add music on it, it's just very difficult. That is why we're both exploring auto ducking right now with our compressors. And
yeah,
that will be interesting if we ever actually get that working. But so yes, just be cognizant of that as you go on. And oh, by the way, watch your profanities. Now, why do I say this? If you are an explicit podcast, that's fine. However, there are a lot of countries that you won't be able to reach if your podcast is labeled explicit. So you can take it out later. No big deal. You can beep it. You can just delete it or whatever. But just be wary that iTunes has changed how they label podcasts. If you label one episode explicit, all of them are labeled explicit then. So you won't be able to be heard in India. You won't be able to be heard in China, who have very large audiences. Now, not all the people in those countries speak English, but a lot of them do. And they love to experience Western culture. So if you can keep your podcast clean, you will have more audience share. Now, am I against swearing? No, by no any means. Go ahead and swear if you want to. Just realize that if you do, you're going to be limiting yourself in the audiences to those countries. And just be aware that if you are broadcasting on a subject that maybe little kids like to hear, they might be hearing it as well. So just be cognizant of it.
And also, the thing that I like to mention when we talk about that is be aware that you may be in a situation where your producer usually bleeps you, which ends up keeping you clean, but who's showing up to your live experience? Because they may come to your podcast being like, I want to come and get the same experience that I do in the produced version. Oh, what is all this swearing? Oh, and that might turn them off as a subscriber going forward, because I know that you're being bleeped in the produced version, but hearing your favorite podcaster all of a sudden being crude and rude might not line up with them. I don't know.
Exactly. Just keep the expectations similar, whatever it is. And then, oh, by the way, just like in radio, silence is deadly. You keep the podcast rolling. You always try to have something going on and don't overdo it. A little silence is okay. Like a second of silence is fine. But so don't do it to an extent where you're overrunning each other.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something where you want to have that balance, because when somebody does make that mistake, it's almost better to have a little laugh about it, a little communal laugh about it, and edit that section out later rather than just awkwardly go silent for 30 seconds, because it is extremely awkward as a listener to be like, what's that whistle? Wait, what is that fan? What is that noise? Are they there or are they not there? Check, is this thing on? So absolutely, if it's something just goes really, really bad, like I've had it before where I've gone to play a bump and my iPad doesn't work. So we have a laugh about it. Edit that out in post.
So one last thing. So just roll with anything that happens and just keep it funny or whatever. So on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., I have two co-hosts, Haley and Lauren, and they're great. I love those gals very much because they just roll. They're performers in the first place. I don't think Haley is trained. I think Lauren has had some experience. Anyway, they both live next to train tracks. And inevitably, there's at least one, if not two or three, throughout the podcast, trains that go by. So we've learned to deal with it, whereas they just mute themselves for a little bit. We hear it and they just go mute, and then we don't throw it back to them until they come back in, right? But on those odd events that they're actually talking and the train comes up, we just train, woo, 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 and we play with it as long as the train is there, and then we continue on. So just a live can be full of fun if you make it such.
Yeah, no, I love that advice. Roll with the punches. It's absolutely true. And you know, your live audience does come to a degree to expect to see a bit of a different experience. I think that most live viewers do expect that, and sometimes that fun can be very infectious.
It can. Okay. So you've recorded your podcast. You've had all sorts of great wonderful fun with your hobby podcasting co-hosts or your audience, if you're a solo podcaster or whatever. Now you've played your outro, you're done with the podcast, and you are just hanging with everybody. And just remember, be respectful. Don't alienate them. Don't call them out. Don't have an argument with them. Even if they are antagonizing you, just deal with it until you can boot them out or whatever. Don't get into a shouting match. You want to take the higher road, right, Steven?
I agree. And that is something that it can be really hard when you know that the podcast is off and somebody is maybe saying something that is quite rude towards you. You want to respond, but like SP said, take the higher road, let things simmer, and they'll digest, you'll digest, and everything will probably be okay the next week. So I agree with you, SP. Definitely take the higher road on that. But on the other hand as well, you want to make sure you are interacting with people post show. That's a really good opportunity. If you don't want to change up your format too much to constantly be involving the live chat, if you've got that or whatever, that's a great spot post show to talk to your audience and acknowledge their comments. SP does this on the Starling Tribune with Chris and Neil, and it works wonderful. Every now and then they'll sprinkle in a comment from the live chat, but they'll get to the bulk of it after essentially the podcast is over. You know, yes, it's still going live. Yes, everybody's still recording and everything, but it is something that the bulk of the fan interaction happens post show, and it works really well.
And just like any normal podcast, we encourage feedback to happen throughout the week. We have a voicemail line, and specifically talking about the Starling Tribune, but the same can be said about Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. over on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So we ask for feedback. We have Twitter accounts, Facebook accounts, email addresses, voicemail line. You can always mail in or voicemail in your or email in an MP3 or WAV file or whatever of a recording. Or we've even had people now start to give us video feedback, as you saw last week with Neil on this show, Better Podcasting. So there is a ton of ways to deal with it. And then we can play that audio during the podcast. We can, like we've been doing with the ATR 2100 contest entries at the beginning of this podcast, we talk about them and we read them off and whatever. We acknowledge the feedback. So that's all great. That is stuff that can be done non-live. The live stuff, we wait till later. Does it have to be that way? No. If you're doing a call-in show, if you're doing a self-help show, if you want interaction with your fans, like a direct post-reaction show to a television show or radio show or presidential debate or whatever, you can definitely do that. And just pick a service that will allow people to come in, comment in, whether it's Blog Talk Radio, where they actually call in on their phones, or where it's Blab, where they can video in or whatever. You can include them in any way. I prefer in the podcast that I do to have that interaction later in the show and to keep the podcast the way it is. And that way you don't get sidetracked. We have points that we want to make. We have new stories that we want to get out. Because our live listenership is such a small portion. I've not actually done the percentages, probably 2-5% of the total percentage. The other 95%, 98%, they want to hear that podcast as they have been in the past. So that's just how I do it that way.
Yeah. And the other thing to remember as well, post-show, is it is still your show. Two points on that. Number one, I encourage you to remember everything we talked about in the past two episodes, because even though you might be, okay, I know that we've already ended, we're going to put in the end outro music here, don't keep overrunning each other, because that is still very annoying to the live listener. You know, apply the same techniques that you do when you're quote unquote on, because you will end up in a situation that you'll start to alienate your live listener, because they'll get to the end and they'll start to get fatigued from hearing all of this talking over, all of this other random stuff. So keep in mind that you are absolutely still on right through the end. But let's say you start to bring in guests as well. SP has some really good advice for that as well.
Yeah. So if you have a guest on and it's really interesting, whatever, as long as it's interesting to your fans, that's great. But beware of a time that you want the guest on. So if you have other people that might want to come on, you want to limit that time of that person that's with you, 5 minutes or something like that, so you can take another guest who has other interesting things to say and do it over and over. Like last night in the Starlink Tribune, I believe we had three or four people come in. So we didn't let any one person really overtake the entire time. Now we've had other times post show where we've had really interested people come on. We've had on Voices of Defiance, we've actually had actors from the show jump on afterwards. So it's been fun, and just keep it fun and keep including everybody that you can. Now, ultimately, if you have a large audience, you're not going to be able to include everybody, but you try to include as many people as you can, and try not, after they come in, these, because they're not regular podcasters, maybe some of them are, but they're going to have one or two things to say, maybe three things to say, and then they're going to be out, and then their contribution to your content and the rest of the audience kind of wanes, and they just like talking with you. So you just have to be aware. Now on Blab, we call it blab jacking. I don't know who came up with that term, but I heard it, so I ran with it. We can use it audio wise. We can say podjacking, you know, whatever. You just don't want that person that is your guest to overrun you. So it is your show, and you say, thank you very much. You know, where can people find you? Or thank you very much for coming on and give us your Twitter handle or your show or whatever that you're on. And then you invite another guest in and just keep it moving. And that's a skill to learn, by the way. It's micro interviewing, and you just do it over time. You get used to it and you run with it. So a good way to learn is to record it. And we talked about it before, listen to it a couple of weeks later or a year later or whatever. And you hear what you did and you go, oh, I could have done this different. I could have done that different. Don't hit yourself over the head, learn from it. And then next time you talk about it, and we'll be talking about interviewing as a skill later too, by the way, we're not just going to drop it after my 2-sentence comment there.
For sure. For sure. And I will tell you this as well. When you have had somebody blabjack you or podjack you, it will change your outlook on appearing on other podcasts. Just last night, they did the Starlink Tribune podcast, and I ended up playing it back a little bit later because I missed some of it. And then I got to the section where I popped in post-show, and I felt like I was exiting before I even entered, but I was so aware of like, I don't want to take up their time. I want to free up the seat and everything, that it was just my natural instinct to be like, say my point, run. And you'll find that you'll end up, I think you'll end up changing a little bit how you appear on other podcasts when you've had it happen to you.
Yeah, I don't just produce content. I love to consume content, especially if they're talking about stuff that I like Star Wars. We don't have a Star Wars podcast on the Guinea Geek Network right now. So when the Star Wars movie came out, there's a bunch of podcasts that were on Blab that were talking about it. So I was listening, and then all of a sudden, I found myself with something to say. I was like, ooh, I got to say this. So they let me in, and I was talking to them and everything. And they're like, do you have anything else to say? I'm like, no, somebody else. I'll let somebody else in, because there was three people in there already, and they could only have four people, because that's the way Blab is right now at this instant in time in January of 2016. So I just let that go and got off, and then I played it back later and was like, hey, actually, that was a good time. I thought it was on there way too long. It turned out to be a good time. Now, Steven, your appearance last night, I have to say, if it's on your network and you're bugging your people on your network, you're like, I can feel the thing. It's like, oh, I don't want to seem like I'm coming in and taking over. Matter of fact, when Chris did one of his first Nerd Alert news blabs, I waited until after they were done and Chris had stopped recording, and I came in and said, you guys did great.
Yay! That's good.
And I love this and stuff, but I waited till afterwards. I didn't do it in the middle of it because I was like, I don't want to detract from the rest of their audience.
No, good point. Good point. And taking us to the last point that we have, which is actually post-show, it's during show, it's all of it. It's probably even pre-show, depending on how your setup is. Watch the adult content, because we mean this from multiple ways. Number one, we talked about the swearing, but let's say you're doing video of some form. Is there something on the shelf behind you that you don't want your audience to see? Maybe you're doing something that you're screen sharing. Is there a photo that you don't want people to see? Maybe you have some provocative desktop background. Maybe, right? There's a variety of things that you want to watch that. And that's what I mean. It could be prep, because if you are going to be screen sharing, I highly encourage you to make sure that you have a very, very, very clean screen. And make sure if you have something behind you, make sure you have a clean shelf or whatever it is that is going to meet the YouTube terms of service if you are using YouTube or the blob, whatever it is. Because I'm not saying this from the perspective that I'm a prude or anything like that, because they have terms of service, and quite often nudity is not allowed on their terms of service.
No, not at all. Okay, the other thing that I put this in there for is you have no control over what you're going to see when you let somebody in.
Yeah.
Right? There's, like on Blab, there's no green room, so you have no call screener, at least not yet. So somebody could come in with the phone down their pants or something like that, or they could be mooning you, or you might see some underage stuff going on, because there's no controls whatsoever. It is literally the wild, wild west. And if that does happen, you got to be prepared to take it down. You got to be prepared to stop and then just regroup and move on, you know, ban whoever it is. And I'm not even sure what you could do in Hangouts on Air, but you have to do something and then regroup and move on.
Yeah.
But that is something that you have to take care of. And that's really why I put this in there, is you have no control over who's going to be on the other end of that camera, of that microphone when you let them in, and you're just acting on good faith. And I think so far it's been okay. Now on Blab, for instance, there's been a bunch of young kids that come in just exploring the technology. They don't know what it is. They think it's the next Snapchat or something like that, Kick or whatever. So they come in and they're like, hey, and they laugh and then they leave because they don't realize what's going on. Because Blab and YouTube, they're not meant for podcasting. They're there for everybody to use for anything. So you just have to be cognizant of it. And that's the only thing I say. As far as the hosting part of it, just realize that this stuff can happen, figure out a way to deal with it, and then move on. And then remember those terms of services. Otherwise, you can get kicked off those services and you won't be able to live stream anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that is going to go ahead and take us towards the end of our final installment of this three-part series. Before we do go on to our Better Podcasting Download, I'm just going to go ahead and summarize the general piece of advice that I will give you as a live hoster, which SP specifically said it, but this is my summary, is roll with it, because that is going to be your best piece of advice for the whole live experience. Be adaptable and flexible, because it will be a lot more dynamic when you hit live.
And if you happen to hit your microphone because you talk with widely expanding hands, just remember to calm it down a little bit as well as you can, and then just move on.
Agreed. Agreed. Any last comment that you have before we go into the download there, SB?
Live from the GG Studios, it's Better Podcasting.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
All right. In this week's Better Podcasting Download, I am going to share a personal story and a tale. Right, SP?
Oh, Uncle Steven, tell me the story. I want a story before I go to bed tonight. Tell me the story.
All right. The story is a thing called PowerPress and Blueberry, and it is also a thing called PodPress. Now, where I'm going with this is that I don't know if you've known this. I've told some people before, but on the Gonna Geek podcast, as well as many, many other shows that I have run, I have often opted to self-host and self-create RSS feeds using WordPress. This is something that it has been very, very good to me. I've liked it. And early on, I came across a plugin called PodPress. Now, PodPress was very much the gold standard for a very long time for WordPress podcasting plugins. Essentially, it did a lot of the work. You plugged in the link, you plugged in some other information, created the RSS feed for you, created a whole bunch of other things, and it really was the gold standard. But then it ended up losing support. And this is something over the last few years, support has come and gone. One developer's picked it up, then let it die. Another one's picked it up, let it die. It's happened in enough cycles that I've been able to keep doing it. Now, one of the big reasons why I used it, because I have been commented on and looked at funny for using PodPress many, many times. But one of the reasons why I did was because by the way, the audio listener, SP is making the crazy head symbol at me. So,
cray cray symbol. Yeah.
At first glance, you might go, yes, Steven, why are you using a plugin that comes and goes with support? That seems kind of silly when there are other great things like PowerPress. Well, here's the thing. PodPress did a very, very good job of giving me all of the information that I needed, the raw data of my downloads. It had it set up in a way that I could tell how many came from the website, how many came from playing on the website, so not the download link, the actual play, and how many came from the feed. It was phenomenal. There was a bit of back-end graphs and things like that. Not that great, but what was nice was I could go into the SQL database, pull the information, dump it in a spreadsheet, and have it sort it however I wanted to do. I had a template, so it was a matter of click this button, copy, click this button, paste, hit the generate button, and my spreadsheet, I had it all programmed to refresh everything. So that worked really well for me for a long time. But WordPress, as we mentioned a few episodes ago, did some changes, and that meant that as a PodPress user, because the plugin was no longer supported, I could not update WordPress. Well, that's a problem because security, right? You want to make sure you're up to date with your WordPress. So I have been trying to, for several months now, get myself converted over to PowerPress, which is a plugin put out by Blueberry. It's very, very similar to what I was using for PodPress, except statistics-wise, it relies more on the Blueberry service. You can tie it into other services. There are a way to do it, but I decided, well, if I'm going to do this, let's use it as it was originally intended for, and I would sign up for Blueberry, and I would get the PowerPress app or plugin on there and make the change. So I just...
Just to be clear, you are still self-hosting your files. You're using the PowerPress plugin, and then the stats that go with the PowerPress plugin, but you are not hosting with Blueberry.
Absolutely. You're correct. Yes, I am still self-hosting and using the Blueberry stats. In fact, I have opted to sign up for the premium stats because I want to see the full Blueberry experience as far as what they can offer me as a self-hosting person. So I'm not going to talk so much about my experience with Blueberry yet, because that's something that I think I don't have enough experience to really comment on it yet. I'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute. But from the actual integration side, going from PodPress to PowerPress, they make it very, very easy. When you install PowerPress, it does a bunch of things to recognize PodPress. It is really, really nice. Number one, if you've ever used WordPress before, you know what a short code is. A short code is essentially something that it is an HTML scripting that you put in a little short word in a post, and it auto-generates HTML code that applies to that short code. Well, the short code to activate the player on PodPress is actually different than the short code on PowerPress. So if I want to go and I want to put my podcast in the middle of a post, this short code, this text that I type in that essentially says, put the podcast player here, is different between the two. PowerPress automatically recognizes the old PodPress one. So I didn't have to go and update all of my back posts. That would have been a nightmare. The second thing that they do really, really well is you can enable it so that it automatically reads your PodPress data. This is the biggest part of it all, because if you get a little bit technical, in the back area in the SQL database where it stores all of your podcast information, when I go in and I enter in my podcast file URL into WordPress, it's stored in a different spot in the database than where PodPress was. There, PowerPress is in a different spot than PodPress. So what it did automatically is I can go in there and enable it, and it will automatically embed using all of the PowerPress stuff. It'll go and it'll go, okay, so he had PodPress on here, read this information from here and display it on the site like this. So I didn't really have to do anything to keep my podcast on the file. But when I decided, okay, I'm all set up, nothing's really gotten messed up with my RSS feeds, iTunes is reading it fine, there's actually a tool to copy that information over so that I can essentially scrub my WordPress of PodPress if I want to, and just stay with the data with PowerPress. Now, that might not be a big deal for you depending on your hosting needs, but if you have a very, 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 very large catalog, that might be something that you want to get that space back. So it makes it really, really easy to actually import that technical data over from the one section in the database to the other. And what I really liked about it was they have a page dedicated to it, which you click a couple buttons and it will tell you whether or not there's going to be errors importing. For example, there was, I think it was about 30 episodes. And this is talking about the Gunna Geek website where there's a variety of podcasts posting to it on a regular basis. There was about 30 episodes where it ended up saying that there would be a conflict between a couple of things. So it walked me through. Basically, I had to set up a second category sort of thing within PowerPress. And just select those episodes to go to the second category. And then I can go back and clean that up a little bit later. So it made it really, really, really easy. The only thing that I have to say about it is that there is a simple mode and an advanced mode. In my opinion, there are a lot of things missing from the simple mode. And to the average user, that advanced page is very confusing. There's a lot of things in there that seem to me a little bit misleading and a little bit confusing on what their exact function is. But when I was in basic mode, I found that there was a lot of things missing from that. So I don't know, maybe it'll be something that'll change in the future. But for me, I had to hop to advanced mode to really, really execute what I wanted to execute. The nice thing though, on the flip side, is there is a button where I can go and I can just log into my Blueberry account and it does a bunch of configuration for me, and that made it super easy. The next thing that I'm trying to figure out here is how exactly I can isolate the GunnaGeek.com podcast from the rest of the Gunna Geek network stats within Blueberry, but that's something that I'll dive into a little bit more. I just wanted to talk primarily about the actual transition from PodPress to PowerPress. They do a very, very good job, and now I'm up to date on WordPress again.
So say if you are an average user and you want to try to use the advanced version of the Blueberry plugin and you're having some problems or you have some questions, is there a way to contact Blueberry to ask them questions?
Yeah, primarily PowerPress. Blueberry makes it pretty clear on their contact. The PowerPress plugin is primarily supported by the forums. So on the website, actually within the plugin too, you can easily find the help link, and it actually says, it directs you where you want to go if you're asking for Blueberry advice or Blueberry support, whether you are asking for PowerPress support, or if you want to take up their consultation service on how to configure the two. So they've got that very clearly outlined.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but really, really, I knew this was a solid plugin before. I actually wanted to go to it a long time ago, but I have to admit, I really, really, really liked having the stats right in front of me. Yes, I can get some stuff from server side, from the background, from the server, but on my opinion, the server doesn't actually give as much information as a stat service does, as PodPress used to, just because those sort of things are better at determining where did they come from and whatnot, and giving you information like how is your clients downloading your podcast? Are they downloading through iTunes? Things like that. The server doesn't really make it easy in your server statistics.
So if you haven't noticed already, Stephen and I are stat hounds. We love our stats. We love what we can get out of them and that sort of thing. Do we need them? No, not really. We like doing it. We're addicted to them, I guess. The point for a hobby podcaster is don't get too addicted to them, because you really should focus on your content. But as you're building a website and everything, it's important to be able to have them for whatever reason. So, I mean, even if you wanted to monetize, you'd have to prove that you had these downloads. So it's stats can be important, and we just like them, but you don't have to have them. But regardless, the PowerPress plugin, I've just heard amazing things and I can't wait. I've been using it for the last couple of weeks to post my episodes on the Gunna Geek Network, and I really enjoy the interface. So well done, Blueberry, with PowerPress.
Absolutely. Well, and I'll say this, it does more reading of your file than PodPress did, which is nice because that's less things to enter into the website. So they have done a really good job, as SP said. And, you know, like I said before, if it wasn't for the stats, I would have converted a lot quicker. It is really, really a good plugin to check if you are looking to put podcasts on your WordPress installation. So That is going to go ahead and take us, though, to the end of episode 13. Before we do wrap up, we want to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, we have that contest going on. You can absolutely email us at contest@betterpodcasting.com. We like to mention at the end of the show because you may have forgotten. So absolutely enter. Go ahead. We want somebody to get this who's really, really going to enjoy it. So go ahead and enter. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to use it for. And the second thing is, we didn't plug this or talk about this last week, but we just want to go ahead and remind you that if you are looking for a rack mount box or custom piece of furniture or something like that, SP, why don't you tell them a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the company's called Made in Farmington. If you want a existing configuration that they have, they also do custom configurations. Just go to madeinfarmington.com. Their alter ego is audioracks.com. I have an audio racks unit housing my compressors that I'm using right now, and I just really like it. It works with my desk and everything, and it's really well made, so it is well worth it. And we do have a coupon code if you go there. They don't have a lot of sales, let me tell you. I waited for a year for a sale and never really found one for the audio racks. So just use the coupon code BETTERPOD10 or BETTERPOD10. That is the number 10. That's not the word 10. So BETTERPOD10. And tell them SP and Steven sent you. And I just really like their stuff. And I was able to get that discount for you. So use it while you can.
For sure. For sure. But that is taking us to the end of episode 13. So for the Better Podcasting Podcast, I'm Steven John Drew.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer. See you guys next time. Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.